It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. 51 Boston Marathon runners list Pittsburgh as their hometown, but there were many more from southwestern Pennsylvania involved in the event. Computer information security specialist John Adamczak was leading a team of six Pittsburghers who were volunteering at the finish line. 90.5 WESA's Mark Newtbar was able to speak to him this morning as he waited at the Boston airport for a flight back to Pittsburgh.
Tell me, John, a little bit about how you wound up in Boston. I understand this is something that you do year after year.
That's it. I originally used to live in Boston and volunteered at that point. And then that was when John Hancock first became the marathon sponsor. And then became responsible for getting all the supplies to the finish line and getting the finish line all set up. And been doing it for 20-some years.
When you say supplies, are you talking about the water and the blankets or medical supplies or everything?
Everything. Medical supplies, water, blankets, metals, food. Getting the supplies to the satellite areas, the elite recovery, the VIP tents, the wheelchair tents, press rooms if they need stuff. We've done those in the past. And then we resupply and we do whatever else needs to be done in order to try to make it a successful event.
Now, John, take me back to you were there at the time of the explosion. What do you recall?
Me and several members of my team were running into the crowd, we were running towards the blast because we knew that they needed help. We got there and started pulling scaffolding and other things off of the injured parties that were laying on the ground and assisting the police with clearing the area of all non-essential personnel.
I understand the stands collapsed.
You know what? I did not see that because I was on the opposite side of the street just pulling scaffolding off of the people that needed the medical assistance and getting the medical wheelchairs and that in there to get them evacuated to medical 10A.
It seems like a human reaction to run the other way from danger. Why did you go toward it?
People needed help.
Do you feel you were able to provide that help?
Well, I was there to do what needed to be done.
And we thank you for doing that. Tell me, you were there how late last night working?
About 9 o'clock. We started at 3 a.m. and we ended it, left it at 9.
Were you able to contact your family here? I understand cell phone service was cut for a while.
I was able to get a couple calls out, and those people were kind enough to contact the rest of the family members.
Now, you're trying to get home today, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm sitting in the airport right now.
Do you think that you will be back in Boston a year from now?
It's too early to tell. Chances are we will be.
People are seeing these pictures on TV. And they're horrific. Is that what you experienced?
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad.
Do you think you'll ever get these visions out of your head? Do you want to?
Don't know. Can't answer that question.
John, anything else that you would like to add about what you saw and what you did and what you experienced?
Well, thank you. People should give the first responders and the volunteers a big hand. They did a great job, and in many instances disregarded personal safety to take care of the situation. I mean, that was the beginning. There were possibilities of things happening in the buses and that, and runners that needed their supplies. As soon as they let a few of us in, we went in and got all the bags out, not knowing what was in each bag. And there were questions on a lot of those bags. So there are a lot of people that went above and beyond.
We heard a lot about these bags. You just went ahead and picked them up and you weren't worried?
You got to do what you got to do, you know?
I completely understand that, and I hope that I would be in that same situation, but I don't think you had to do that. There were first responders. What bubbles up inside of you to be able to put your life at risk for others?
There are people out there that were very cold. You need to take care of them.
Mr. Adamczak, thank you very much for your time this morning, and good luck getting back home.
Thanks. I'll see you later.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. I'm joined now by a local runner who was in the Boston Marathon and finished a few minutes before the first explosion. Karen Haar is the director of running groups and outreach for Fleet Feet Sports in Pittsburgh, and she's currently heading back to Pittsburgh from Boston. She joins us by phone. Karen Haar, thank you for being with us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much.
How soon did you finish the race before the first bomb went off yesterday?
I think I had finished probably 25 minutes before, but I went to the medical tent, which was at the finish line, because I needed an inhaler. And I was delayed there for about that 25 minutes. And then I went, I left the medical tent at the finish line and then started my walk, down Boylston. So that's why, I was there. And I probably was maybe a block along, the way. And there was just this sound like a cannon. And in those moments after that sound, it was really surreal because everything stopped. And I've been to quite a few marathons, and the exodus of a marathon is just thousands of people streaming in one direction and cell phones and talking, and everything stopped and it was silent and everybody turned and there was all this smoke. And my feeling, you're not at your best at the end of a marathon. You're kind of foggy and it's hard to walk. And my thought was just this disbelief, it's Patriots Day. And I thought, that sounded like a cannon. Why would they do a cannon at the finish line? That just doesn't make sense. And all the smoke, I realized it doesn't make sense, but I still didn't know what to make of it until the second explosion. And that's when everybody realized something's not right. And at that point, I was afraid if people started to stampede. And so I went to the side of the road to the buses. I mean, if you can imagine, Boylston Street is the end of the marathon, and then it's the finish line, and then it's the post-finish chute, and you're just corralled in between. You're separated from the sidewalks, and then there's buses in there as well, and there's really not that much space, and there's nowhere to go. I was just trying to get to the edge, and there were people urging calm and saying, don't run, but keep moving. Just keep moving. And that was really great because I think it kept people calm. And I was able to go to the baggage bus that had my bag. And I got my bag. And the first thing I did was call the store. I called the owner, Bob Schuer. He's like my mentor and my coach. And I just said, Bob, he was trying to congratulate me. And I just said, Bob, there's been explosions and I don't know what's going on. I just want you to know I'm walking away. Walking away as fast as I can. And he said, just get off the phone, and that's what you have to do. And then at that point, there was no phone service. I wanted to call my parents as I was walking, and I couldn't. So I sent them a text, and it was just, the Boston Marathon is so well organized. I don't think there was any chaos from where I was forward, but there was definitely a feeling of like there could have been. I was so happy to get off Boylston because there were, when the siren started, when the police started running in opposite direction that we were going and telling us, keep moving, get out of the way. There was one point where people started running and I thought, oh my God, this is like the worst thing. But then they stopped. You can't do that. You just make something so much worse. And as it were, I think it ended up being in a terrible situation, so much better than it could have been if people had panicked.
Did you see any of the people that got hurt?
Oh, my God, no. I just just, you know, saw the explosions and no, not at all. I would, you know, the only firsthand experience I have is having seen the second explosion, you know, heard the first one, saw the smoke rising from it. And then the aftermath of being in this city that they're trying to shut down and they're shuttling people and there's no trains, you can't leave. And I made it to the Marriott Copley to an event that Fleet Feet Sports and Adidas had sponsored for Fleet Feet runners. And I'm so glad I made it back there because they had you know, a room with amenities, and they were just, as it were, everybody in Boston, you have to understand, is like glued to a TV set. In bars, everywhere that you passed, glued to TV sets. And so we're all listening to this in this room at the Marriott Copley. And then we learned, you know, we can't even go into the lobby. Everybody's supposed to stay put wherever they are. And I'm sure that Adidas and Fleet Feet aren't the only people in the city that did things like this, but they just kept the food coming. They kept the massage staff on. They were really trying to calm people because there was such a feeling of uncertainty, you know, that feeling of like, what next, what next? And, you know, with that unrelated bombing at JFK Library, you know, nobody knew that was unrelated. All we knew was the news kept coming in. The injured list was getting higher. There was now a third explosion that the police had detonated, and we didn't know that the JFK Library thing was unrelated. So I was lucky that there was a place to receive me and people who were gracious enough to just keep the taps flowing, regardless of the cost, just to keep their people safe.
There were some scenes yesterday that I think will be hard for anybody to forget anytime soon. And one of the images that stuck with people was that of the runners when the first explosion happened. It was right near where the runners were coming to the finish line. And we saw one man at least go down to the ground. And if you've ever run a marathon, and I'm sure you understand the feeling, Karen, you're pretty shaky in those last few steps of that 26-mile run that you've endured. And then to have an explosion like that go off, is there any way you can describe what that impact would have been like for the runners on top of just the exhaustion at the end of a race?
Well, I can't describe it firsthand, of course. And I've seen the same video, and I saw the gentleman fall. And, you know, my thought was, you know, when you get that far, you're just like, I'm going to cross that finish line no matter what. Like, I'll crawl, I'll do whatever. But, of course, you're so disoriented. And once you stop, you know, or you fall down, it's so hard to get back up, even though, like, that guy was maybe 2 feet from the finish line. And I saw, you know, the clip ended, I think, as he was getting up. I don't think I would have had the fortitude. I think I would have crawled over the finish line. You know, when you finish a marathon, you just, even in the best of circumstances, I've had better days than yesterday, you are so mentally exhausted. You don't even realize it until you try to make sense of things. Like, you try to make a cell phone call, or you try to read a map, you know, or like me yesterday, I got disoriented on Boylston Street. All I had to do was make a right-hand turn, you know, to get where I needed to go. I had rehearsed this in my mind ahead of time. I couldn't find the street. So, yeah, I saw those images, and I would think that the race pretty much stopped for everybody. I don't know. You know, it would have been hard to even go 20 feet after something as dazing and unexpected as an explosion.
We're talking with Pittsburgher Karen Haar. She's the director of running groups and outreach for Fleet Feet Sports in Pittsburgh, and she completed the Boston Marathon yesterday. I want to go back to just the kind of occasion that the Boston Marathon is for people who haven't been there. You mentioned that it's a holiday in Boston. It's called Patriots Day, which celebrates Paul Revere's ride, and the British are coming, and all of the things that go along with that historic moment. So it is a festive day for Bostonians. The Red Sox traditionally play in the morning, and then a lot of people go from the game down to watch the finish of the race. And it's pretty much of a party atmosphere. Do you describe that scene for us, and just how the events that occurred later contrasted with the mood that people were in?
Well, you know, the Boston Marathon is really unique in that Patriots Day is like a national, it's what we would think of like a national holiday, except it's not. It's a local holiday. But, I mean, children don't go to school. There's always the Red Sox game. There's the marathon. And the marathon is just part of Boston's culture. I've been to a lot of marathons, and none of them are attended like the Boston Marathon is. The entire course is just packed with people. And when you get into areas like, I would say, starting at Newton, I mean, people are just like 3 and 4 deep. The last few miles, there's just so many people. And, you know, it is a party atmosphere, but not in the sense of, you know, when you think of big sporting events, the Final Four, the Stanley Cup, you think of like Carson Street, that kind of party atmosphere. The people in Boston, this is their marathon, whether they're runners or not. They show up in force, and they're not drunk. They're not rowdy. They're all out there helping. They're offering Vaseline, Kleenex, popsicles, like every little town all along the way. So it is. It's just festive, and it's happy. It's a part of their culture, and I really think they all go because I don't know where all those people come from, but how does it contrast with what happened? It makes it all the more shocking because this is not an event of all marathons. It's not an event primarily of runners or attended by, you know, people who are interested in the running community. It's part of Boston's fabric. It's what these people do. And so, you know, when you hear about a child killed, that's because people were there with their families. There were strollers, dogs, you know. So this was something that affected, you know, the everyday person just as much as it affects the running community. So I think everybody is shocked, not just the running community. I would think that everybody in Boston is just shocked. And I'm sure that I don't know how other people feel, but I've just come to the conclusion. I know it's cliche, but now I've had the opportunity to come to this conclusion myself that, you know, life either goes on or it doesn't, right? You can choose to stay home or you can live your life. And so am I going to do another marathon again? You bet. And guess what? I realized this morning, this is the second marathon that I've been to that's been disrupted by a bomb incident. The other one was one of the Pittsburgh marathons in the last few years.
Right, 2010.
The bomb that wasn't, right?
Right.
My point is, this kind of stuff that I read about growing up, or, you know, I always thought about was overseas, it's here. You don't know when it's going to happen. And, you know, I'm either going to go out, you know, many, many years from now, or I'm going to be next to the wrong trash can that has a bomb in it. And, you know, either way, I'll be living my life. And I'm sure the people in Boston feel the same way.
Karen, had you ever heard anybody express security concerns about the Boston Marathon or any marathon before yesterday?
No, I never have heard anybody. You know, I always marvel at that was my fourth Boston, and I always marvel at the organization. It's such a huge thing, and it's so well organized. You know, and just in the day and age that we live in, post 9/11, I mean, I've had a passing thought before, like, wow, that's a lot of, you know, yellow bags. That's a lot of bags, you know, everywhere. But that's not prescient. That's just living in a post 9/11 world, you know. And do I want to live in a world that's any different, where they're going to, like, screen us to go to marathons and go through metal detectors? No, not really. I don't.
What, if anything, would you like to see in the future?
I would like to see people to continue going to marathons. I would like to see people to continue living their lives and, you know, scheduling their marathons. I don't want my life or anybody else's or my community's life to end. And it will if we're afraid. And I'm not going to be afraid. I'm unsettled, and it's really sobering. You know, it's sobering to have been so close to something. You know, my decision to delay at the medical tent brought home to me that arbitrary decisions like that can change your life. You know, people are just in a certain place at a certain time, and you can't predict that. So why try? Why try to orchestrate your life around disaster or, you know, terrorism or whatever? Because you can't.
And so do you still plan on running in the Pittsburgh Marathon in less than 3 weeks?
Yes. I work with a large group of runners that we're training at Fleet Feet Sports. We have over 219 participants, and I'm running with them, you bet.
Karen Haar is the Director of Running Groups and Outreach for Fleet Feet Sports in Pittsburgh. Not easy to say, but she's currently heading back to Pittsburgh from Boston, joining us by phone. Karen, thank you so much for joining us. We're glad that you're safe and on your way back to Pittsburgh.
You're very kind. Thank you very much.
Coming up, business contributor Rebecca Harris on the business of running a bakery. That's next when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.